Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? Good Tuesday afternoon. Trap J is on the vacay, and Barry Laminack for a short, easy vacationers kind of week is in for a one-day stint where you tip your bartenders and waitstaff, and please make sure you get a good whiff of Barry today because he will be out the rest of the week. So Barry,
he gone.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah. What would Sean Salisbury say?
I don't know. What would
it's
he
over,
say?
Johnny.
Oh, is that
it's over, Johnny?
Stink.
So Barry's in for a one-day stint before he gets back on the road again like Willie Nelson to do a little bit of his comedy thing. And in the meantime, still behind the glass and locked up, ready to kick some tail is my man Nick. As we welcome you into the
what
show,
up,
good to have everybody on board. Guys, lots to talk about. We will get to the Texans. Yesterday, we kind of mixed it up because everybody and their mother was talking about the Texans. And so we kind of shifted gears, let you dictate the show. And we had some great topics, covered some good bases, and got a lot of good dialogue going on. Plenty to get dialogue on today. Before we get started, I want to give a shout out to my beautiful wife. Second year anniversary. Made it through two. So, love you, honey.
Very good.
Happy anniversary today. We are both working, so that's fantastic.
Congratulations to you guys. You going to do something special tonight?
No, because she has to go to bed at 7:30.
Oh, so you better get the candles and the rose petals out early,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, we got, you know, look, I'll make sure I take care of my part of it, but at the same time, we'll probably celebrate more on the weekend when we have some time to celebrate. But
just make sure it's a quality 5 minutes.
Don't sell myself short. How about that? Don't sell me short.
All right. Whatever it is, just make it quality.
Or that remark if I sell myself short, depending on how the case may
be. Just make it count.
That's right.
That's all.
Hey, and also shout outs to our partner and our good friends over at the Sugarland Skeeters. They won the Freedom Division, in case you weren't scoring at home. And now they host a first-round playoff series with the York Revolution. It starts tonight out at Constellation Field. Tickets are affordable, great for the whole family. We've told you over and over what a great experience it is, but now they need you more than ever because they need that home field advantage. First two are at home as your Sugarland Skeeters take on the York Revolution starting tonight and also tomorrow night before they head on the road. So good luck to the Skeeters and congratulations on winning the Freedom Division. Let freedom ring, boys. Let freedom ring.
Yeah, there is nothing more American than the Skeeters and Freedom Division.
No question.
That's without a doubt.
Well, and the flag. And then we get into
right,
anthems.
There's
and then
some
we
other
get.
Things.
I digress.
Yeah.
So last night, let's see. We've got a lot to talk about. First things first, the Eagles have found themselves a young quarterback that can play a little bit because Carson Wentz,
boy.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
You know?
That dude, you know, when I was watching the game, I caught, you know, the first quarter and a half, and then I missed a little bit, and then I caught the last quarter. But as I'm watching him and as I watched highlights from his first week, he throws a pretty ball. He's a big boy, throws mm-hmm. a pretty ball, but his touch on the ball is what I'm most impressed with. He fits that ball into such a tight window. And there was a touchdown pass that was dropped last night that he just threw like the perfect pass. Like you could not, there was nowhere else that ball could be if it was going to be a touchdown.
Picked. Right.
And he's still, you know, this receiver dropped it, unfortunately. But yeah, man, I am really impressed with the kid. Now, it's two games and Ryan Leaf was 2-0 in his first two starts. So it's not like we need to, you know, RG3 I think, started 2-0 and had similar start to what Carson Wentz is doing. So I want to warn everyone, you know, he's not the next Tom Brady yet. But dude looks really good, and he's got all the skill set, I think.
Not the next Tom Brady, but hope he's not the current Jay Cutler, because that, as I have said all along, has been something to keep an eye on. And again, last night, it was typical Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler threw the pick, and then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, the cameras are following him to the locker room. A guy's carrying his helmet, and then they're in Leonard Nimoy in search of the videotape where he might have gotten hurt. But it's, I can't say I didn't tell you so. This is what Jay Cutler is. And with all the tools and all the talent, Jay Cutler has not had the kind of career that anybody expected him to have. And to your point, Barry, I mean, you can get off to a 2-0 start. You can get off to a good start in a lot of seasons. He had a good start to his career in Denver and has just completely pooped the bed since then. You know, has not been able, and he's had weapons around him in the past. But Nick brings up a couple of interesting questions, and we'll throw it out to you as well. 713-780-ESPN, where you can text us and you can call, or you can reach us at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at No Hit Nick. We are here for 2 hours today from 1 to 3 before David Dilotti takes over with baseball talk. But we're here for you to entertain you and also to get to your questions, comments, and what's on your mind. I'll throw these two out to you. We talked a little bit about Carson Wentz. Good game management. 21 of 34, 190 yards, a touchdown, no picks. And then we look at a guy like Dak Prescott, who also has done fairly well, filling in for Tony Romo. Now Cowboy fans are actually discussing whether it's time to move on from Romo and just turn the reins over to Dak Prescott. Who's better? Who's better fitted for their situation? Who do you like more, Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz? That's one. Two, who has the most dysfunctional locker room in the NFL these days? Is it the Chicago Bears, who now quietly and not so quietly have had players come out on the sidelines? There was video last night of some guys kind of getting in Cutler's face. Or the Washington Redskins, who not only are doing it on the sidelines and while plays are happening when interceptions are taking place, but it's happening in the locker room. And oh, by the way, when RG3 was at his worst, there were linemen coming out saying, I was intentionally missing blocks so that RG3 could get his cage rattled. And now you're looking at a situation when you look at the Washington Redskins and there's a quarterback controversy again, and everybody's wondering if a change needs to be made. But it's also the setting for what is seemingly a never-ending dysfunctional locker room in Washington. So my question to you and to the fans out there listening, who has a more dysfunctional locker room and setup right now, Chicago or Washington? And also, who's a better quarterback, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott? I'll turn it over to you.
Oh, so I think it's hard for me to tell just based off of two games each, but in looking at both and seeing as much as I've seen of Wentz and Prescott, I like Wentz. I think he needs to learn how to slide. He is taking some big hits, but I like the way he plays. I like I said, I think he throws a pretty ball. I think Prescott's got a little more, he's got other options. He can run a little better than Wentz does. You know, he gives him that extra ability to scramble. But overall, I like Carson Wentz. I think he's got that. He's got that. He looks more like a pro QB with the way he throws the ball and downfield too. I haven't seen much of Prescott the way he throws the ball downfield, but I really like Carson Wentz.
I like them both. I like Dak's maturity level for a guy coming into a big time situation in a very, very scrutinized team in the Dallas Cowboys. I like the way that he is able to keep his cool. I like the way that right from the start, he knows his check down that is going to be guaranteed in gold is Jason Witten, and he makes sure he finds his tight end. I know that he likes Beasley, and he finds Beasley when the going gets tough. But I like his field management, his game management. But I think the key that we need to point out for both these quarterbacks are they are game managers. That, you know, in Dallas's case, they have the best offensive line in football, and they got a really good young tailback and also a backup to him that's pretty darn good in Alfred Morris. So he knows what he needs to do. Hand the ball off, manage the game, keep your team in it, but don't give them a reason to have to play from behind. Same thing I like about Carson Wentz. I like Carson Wentz because he didn't try to do too much. And they're both athletic, as you said. I think Dak's got a big-time arm. It's just he hasn't had to show it off a lot. I don't think Dez Bryant thinks so right now because he's not getting the ball enough. But I think overall, the upside on both of these guys is huge. And then when you look at a team, when we start talking about the other question, the Bears versus the Redskins, both are in really bad situations. Cutler, because they paid him a lot of money after they traded for him, never really panned out. There's all the questions about his toughness and also his durability and also his ability to do just exactly what these young kids are doing, manage a game. And then when you look at what Kirk Cousins did or didn't do and the fact that he's on a one-year deal And now you got, I mean, if you look at the play where I think, I don't know if you guys watched it or not, but I was watching this Redskins game. They're going in to score, and he throws one of the worst, just take it, interceptions. And you can see Pierre Garçon, as the ball is going into the Cowboy defensive back's arms, start pointing fingers and throwing haymakers in the air towards Kirk Cousins, like, what are you doing? And then afterwards, when they started talking to the linemen, and subsequently yesterday, when they started saying, you know, how do you feel about the quarterback situation? It would be nice in a lot of guys' minds, as they were saying, to have Colt McCoy, because at least we'd have confidence in him that he would make the right decisions and manage the game. So, you know, as bad as situations can be for whoever your favorite team is, and as good as it is on Kirby, thank goodness you're not the Bears or the Redskins.
Yeah, you know, it. From what I've seen, and I haven't seen much about it, but from the little that I've read or seen, it sounds like really that the locker room isn't so bad in Washington as much as I just think everyone's not feeling Kirk Cousins. Yeah. You know, if you don't have the respect of your teammates as the quarterback, then it's going to be a long season. And those guys, you know, like you said, unfortunately, it's not the most mature thing in the world, but those guys are there to protect you. And if they don't like you, like they didn't like RG3, yeah, sometimes they take a playoff and get out of the way.
That's one of the most ludicrous things I've heard.
But
was verified by a lot of guys that said, hey, I basically let my guy go by me and take a free shot at RG3 because we just didn't like him in the locker room. We didn't like anything he brought to the table. We were tired of his antics. So that hasn't got that way with Kirk Cousins. Now, I just say from the standpoint of what's the culture in the locker room and where are the coaches and all this, when the fact that, you know, you look at a guy like Kirk Cousins who's getting $19 million, I think it is, for this year on a 1 year, and his team is basically saying they have no confidence in him and the decisions he's making are not beneficial to the team. So there's two straight quarterbacks, two different situations, same culture in the locker room, never good.
Yeah, the source that there was a Pro Football Talk report that came out that was talking about the issue, and one of their sources said when they asked the source about Colt McCoy, the quote was, at least he played with poise. So you can tell, man, that's not a good situation at all. And if you don't have, like I say, if the team doesn't have your back, it's going to be a long season, man. It won't surprise me if he's gone in a couple weeks.
No
or
question.
Benched. Not gone, but benched.
Interesting situations to keep an eye on. We got a lot to go through. We're here from 1 to 3. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We want to hear from you. 713-780-ESPN. And you can reach out to us via Twitter. We are ESPN97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank.
So, Barry, we were talking about it before the first break. We were talking about comparing the quarterbacks in terms of Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, and I guess overall, when you look at Garoppolo, you can throw into the mix until he got hurt and really got off to a great start against the Dolphins the other day. But you can see kind of a changing of the guard a little bit for what's coming in the future of the NFL with some of these guys, because some of these guys have shown, hey, they can step in right away and with the proper seasoning in the case of Garoppolo, but in other guys, and just right off their college and their rookie campaigns just starting, they're ready to play and ready to manage the game and continue to keep their team on a winning note. That's worth noting. And then also, we also asked your opinions on the Chicago Bears, the Washington Redskins. Which one is in more dire straits and which one has a locker room that's more completely out of disjointed and up in the air, as we told you some of the stories there. So lots to talk about there and lots more to talk about in terms of the NFL as a whole. But you said we had some text as well that were basically asking questions regarding quarterbacks.
Yeah, we got a couple of texts. Somebody asked, what's up with Rodgers and the Packers, which I know is near and dear to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
They said losing to the Vikes and throwing INTs. Oh, and what's up with the NFC East champ Redskins starting 0-2? And then we talked about Skin. Said the text mentioned that Skins players say Cousins doesn't have poise in the pocket.
You touched on that.
Yeah, so what is up with your pack?
So I watched them. And I got to be honest, I wasn't feeling hyper confident about that game because new building, national TV, everybody's going to be, you know, jacked up. But the one thing that I've noticed, and I've said this publicly in the past about Aaron Rodgers, is as good as he is, he's not good at taking blame. And it was on him in a lot of those situations. He has not looked like himself. A lot of it they're saying is the timing with Jordy Nelson, which is definitely legitimate because Nelson doesn't have confidence in his knee. He's also not in football shape like we were talking about with JJ. It's going to take a while. His routes are very, very kind of soft instead of the crisp cuts and the things he should be doing. But Rodgers is missing receivers by a lot. Well, you were talking about Carson Wentz finding a way to put the ball in the window. Well, Rodgers, that's one of his staples. He's not doing that. And at least in his press conference the other night after the game, he admitted he turned it over twice in the fourth quarter where he was hit scrambling, fumbled the football, and it basically helped cost them the game. His lack of being able to do Aaron Rodgers-like things in terms of where he puts the football, and then his lack of ball control to secure the ball and make sure it's safe, has played a huge role in the fact that the Packers' offense has not looked good at all. So the good news is they play Detroit this week, then they have a bye week, so they'll have a chance to kind of get a lot of practice time to try and continue to iron out the kinks. But believe me, it is a concern amongst all Packer fans that he has not looked good. There is not the excuse that he doesn't have the receivers this year, although I will say that getting rid of Josh Sitton right before cutdown day, it was a huge surprise, and it was a Rodgers guy. It was a security blanket, and losing an offensive lineman that had his back has made him a little bit more jittery in the pocket where he's thinking there's pressure, there's not. But overall, there's no question about it. The Packers have some stuff to iron out, and they're definitely not one of those top three favorites in the NFC. At least they're not looking that way right now.
Yeah, that O-line, I felt like, deserved a lot of the blame for how bad the Packers looked against the Vikings. He was sacked five times, you know, some from the blind side, which caused some of the fumbles. He got most of them back. I think he lost two of them?
He lost the last two
after they got back the first three.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, when you get sacked five times, that's your O-line. I think they had like eight QB hits on him in the game as well. That's a lot of pressure. And I don't care who you are. If you don't have a clean pocket, then it's going to be a long night.
Well, and Sean Salisbury will tell you too, you got a clock going in your head. And whether you're hit or not, at a certain point, that clock goes off going, it's about that time where either you get rid of it or you're going to take a hit. But a lot of times he extended plays, but I think he extended them too far, where at a certain point, he's always been good about just saying, okay, it's just not there. I'm throwing it out of bounds. Well, he gained about 2 or 3, 4 yards and then thought, well, maybe I can still throw this or I can still get more out of it. That's when someone came from the backside and knocked the ball out. But they've got a lot of issues. Their defense has looked really good, although Clay Matthews went out and they're going to make an announcement on Wednesday about his injury. It's not the defense, which is normally where you knock the Packers in the past. Their offense has looked very, very subpar. I think it's the same thing you could say about the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle, their defense is always their staple, but right now their offense does not look good. And so three of the top four teams in the NFC that everybody thought had a chance to go to the Super Bowl, being the Seahawks and the Packers, along with Carolina and Arizona, you know, there's question marks for basically three of the four, although Carolina and Arizona got wins. And I'd say the two that everybody had seen as a staple for the last 3 or 4 years, Seattle and Green Bay, have more problems than most.
Yeah, you know, going back to the offensive line thing, not only was Rodgers sacked five times, but Eddie Lacy only got 50 yards in rushing, and Rodgers was second on the team with 29. Yeah. So the fact that Rodgers is having to scramble and run with the ball, and Eddie Lacy's only getting 50 yards on 12 carries, which a 4.2 yard average is decent. But the fact that they still only got 83 yards total in rushing and along with the five sacks and the QB hits, to me, man, I don't think it's Nelson. Well, I don't think it's Aaron Rodgers. I think that offensive line needs to clean up their play quite a bit.
I'll tell you this, you know, and again, I've watched every play for the first two games, and to some degree, you're right about the offensive line, but I'm talking about the continuity of the offense as a whole. And also, like, Eddie Lacy, and he's killing my fantasy team too, but at the same time, Eddie Lacy's not, you know, on the field as much as he should be as well. I don't know if the P90X deal went away and so did his weight loss.
He still looks chubby.
But he's thick, right?
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. He's sharing time with James Starks, and you could see there was a couple times where he ran off like 7, 8, 9, 12-yard runs, and he'd turn around and go, just give me the damn ball because he's getting it done. And the next thing you know, he's out of the game. And he sits two series. So overall, offensively, I don't know what they're doing, but they need to change it all up because it's not working for them. But at least they have a lot of the tools to work things out, unlike some of the teams we were talking about in the Bears and the Redskins, who just seemingly are a complete disaster.
Yeah, the other text that we got was kind of along the same lines of that game. Any thoughts on Sam Bradford with his new team? Seems like he and Diggs got on the same page pretty quickly. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, you know what? He realized real quick that Stephon Diggs is the real deal and an up-and-comer. And by the way, Keenan McCardell coached that young man at University of Maryland. So pretty cool that one of his students has come out and really started the season strong, and the Packers had no answer for him. But Sam Bradford's never been a guy where he was number one overall pick in the draft a few years ago. No one ever questioned Sam Bradford's abilities. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy. He proved that if he gets on a good team and they can keep him upright, he can make all the throws.
I guess maybe I'm not as high on Sam Bradford.
I'm not saying he's going to win MVP, but again, yeah. He's another guy just has to manage the game. Now, yeah. It's going to be different without 28 behind him.
Yeah. I think he's a middle-of-the-road quarterback when he's healthy. Yeah, I mean, he's got a decent arm, but just about every quarterback in the league does. It's in some form or fashion, whether it's accuracy or strength or, you know, either or both. But, yeah, I think that Sam Bradford's going to come back to the level, right?
Pretty safe.
He played out of his mind.
Chris Collinsworth is ready to anoint him, though. Chris Collinsworth was all over with the Vaseline and the feather duster the other night.
Given the circumstances, Sam Bradford played really well.
Yeah.
Don't expect that every week.
No, and I think it's also very funny that they list Adrian Peterson as questionable, thinking that there's a chance he could play. Yeah. Can anybody see him come off the field or after the game? Good luck with that. 1:25 in the afternoon, or just about 10 seconds from there, as we are always happy to have you a part of this show. We're with you till 3 o'clock before David Dilotti comes in to start talking some baseball, because I don't know if you know this or not, but baseball's still being played both nationally and locally. Hey, and the local nine, still winning games.
What?
So if you want, we'll talk about that and much more. We've got it all until 3 o'clock for you, so let us know what's on your mind, and we'll talk about that too. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
What's up, H-Town? Joel Blank here on a Tuesday afternoon, joined by Barry Is Funny, Barry Laminack, and behind the glass, Nick Shirara, as we try and infuse energy into your Tuesday midday and talk about... See what I did there?
See you!
Talk about what's on your mind and what you're thinking about. We all know that the Texans have the short week and they have the game Thursday against the quarterback to remain nameless for the time being against the New England Patriots. So we can talk about that. We started the show talking about the game last night and talking about young quarterbacks and talking about two really dysfunctional football teams in the Redskins and the Bears. And then there's this. From Douglas, Arizona. I know, Barry, you didn't see this, and then I showed it to you, and then you couldn't believe it. I'm going to let you do what you do best.
Oh, yeah, you do.
I know. I'm going to set it up.
Okay.
But I know that you can take it and run with it, and especially at a certain point.
Oh, yeah.
And you people at home and driving around your car are going to know exactly what I'm talking about when I get there. Out of Douglas, Arizona, Mexican authorities said they believe that a stolen truck outfitted with a cannon and parked near the U.S.-Mexico border was used to launch items into Douglas, Arizona. Federal police found the van parked in a street in Agua Prieta, Mexico, which borders with Douglas. The van was reported stolen out of, what is that, Hermosillo over the summer? Photos provided by Mexican authorities, get this, show a black van with a giant cannon coming out of it. Drug smugglers have used similar methods in the past, accusing catapults as they send drugs flying over the border. Border Patrol spokesman Vicente Paco said the most common method is throwing softball-sized marijuana packages over the border fence that are then picked up by smugglers on the U.S. side. But in this case, we're talking about cannonballs that really will get high, if you know what I mean. He said finding cannons is rare. It happens every couple of years. Well, all right.
You know, you say what you want about drug dealers and drug lords, but they're creative folk.
Super creative.
They are super creative. I mean, one, it's probably not the quietest method to smuggle drugs over the border. Very phallic in the way that it looks also. But you know, I was thinking, you know who invented this, right? You know who invented this. The guy that got tired of having to smuggle it over in his butt. That's who invented the drug cannon.
There you go. And I knew you were going to have some like that.
He was like, you know what? I've had enough of this.
Why can't we just shoot this thing?
I could just bombard them like I'm playing some sort of Storm the Beach app on my phone, just launching.
Because cannonballs, as we know, are very heavy.
Yeah.
And that outer surface, I mean, what are you putting the drugs in to make sure that on impact that cannonball is maintaining its shape and it's taking its package to where it needs to be?
Who knows?
There's some heat involved too, right?
Yeah, for sure. Could you imagine if they've got like this bundle of marijuana and it's not wrapped properly, and as soon as they shoot it, it just looks like a glitter gun. Like confetti everywhere, but it's marijuana confetti.
The confetti.
Everyone's like, oh my God, it's raining pot. When I wished on the shooting star last night, I really didn't think it would come true. It has. It's raining pot right now.
You know, and you talk about the Google drones and special deliveries and
that's
all this
next.
Other stuff.
You know that's next.
So you got that going for it. And then what? If you're caught, you're going, you know, I was really aiming for Washington and Colorado, and it just got off track. Come on, man. I mean, that's crazy.
You know they were like at home with a potato gun, and then somebody goes, dude, we should make like a really big one and just shoot coke and meth and marijuana over the border. And they were like, no way.
Well, they got the really big one part right.
Yeah.
Because they've definitely made themselves a really big one. Because that thing in that van.
Dude.
If you see pictures, and you can see the pictures on the internet, that thing is crazy.
It's very A-team
looking.
What is it, like
3 meters long? They cut a huge hole in the roof.
Yeah. They literally, it's just the only thing they left was like a crossbar so that the cannon could rest on it.
Like you're expecting Mr. T to check the lineup of the cannon to make sure that the scope is set in the right spot.
Yeah, it's very A-team. Very
Hannibal. I pity the fool who doesn't get this package right.
I dig
crazy,
this,
crazy
dig
stuff
this.
In the world today. That was definitely on our radar and something that we wanted to bring up. We also want to talk to you, and so we want to make sure you reach out to us, 713-780-ESPN. You can text us, and you can call us at that number, and you can tweet us and find us at Pac-Man Joel, at Barry is Funny, and at No Hit Nick. And Barry, you weren't here yesterday, but we didn't cover a whole lot of Texans without you because we felt like we needed to wait. But your impressions on the Texans win over the Chiefs, for one, and then for two, what are your biggest concerns heading into the short week against the Patriots on Thursday night?
I think health, obviously. My big concern heading into the game would probably be with J.J. Watt not having a full week's rest. How is that going to impact him? I know that the more he plays and the longer we go, the healthier he gets. But I imagine that this isn't going to bode well for him playing on a short week. But overall, I think they look good again, man. I was making some notes. I felt like it was a little touch and go there at the beginning when Travis Kelce started going off. It was like, oh, crap, here we go again. But they, for the most part, they were able to contain him. And, the defense continues to impress. They're ranked the number 3 overall defense in the NFL right now. That bodes well for you if you're trying to click on all cylinders as an offense, which they seem to be picking it up. Lamar Miller is still doing his thing. There's nothing but optimism right now. Their special teams was probably the biggest chink in the armor because they didn't play as well as they did in game one. They gave up some big returns.
They did.
But overall, man, it's encouraging. But you still see some things where they need to get better. I do think that they need to kind of keep that pocket a little cleaner. Dwayne Brown, I don't know when he's supposed to be back, but that'll be a huge lift for them if they can get him back.
Well, and a couple things that came to mind when I was watching the game and things that you had brought up, but special teams, they kind of reverted back to the Joe Avizzano days, where after a good first week, they really gave up some big returns and one that could have been huge if not for a holding penalty that was iffy at best. I don't even know why you kicked to that young man because he is so quick.
Yeah.
Is it West? But I don't know why you're giving him a chance, and especially when you just got that big lead, that double digit lead, you had a chance to have it, go right away, with that. I know that we talked yesterday about the fact that basically the script was flipped because everything that we criticized in week one kind of seemed to work out. I was reading an article this morning about how the Texans, the question now is, is their defense for real and can they do it for a full season? Because they look like one of the best 3 defenses in the league. But their secondary came to play. We had questioned whether Jonathan Joseph had lost a step. We needed Johnson to be on the field more. We needed to see Kareem Jackson be a little bit more consistent, not biting on that first move that he faced with the receiver. They looked fantastic on the backside of the defense. And another thing that I heard you say that was a key that everybody kind of had focused on as well, which was slowing down or stopping Travis Kelce, and you stopped their offense. Well, not only did they do so, but we were trying to figure out who was going to be able to be staying with him step for step with Cushing out. I thought John Simon might see a little time. You thought Bulla might be the guy.
Yep.
And then what they did was they made us all look like they had a different wrinkle than what we were thinking. They used defensive backs that did a hell of a job making sure they stayed with a guy that's more like a right wide receiver in a lot of ways than tight end. But when they neutralized him, and you're right, he did get some short catches early where he looked like he was going to build another resume type game.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of basically said enough is enough. started to shut him down. And then I don't even know what was going on with Jeremy Maclin, because for a guy that could not stop getting props from Solomon Wilcots about how great his hands were and he had like the least drops in the NFL, all he did was drop balls that hit him in a bad spot, namely his left and his right hand.
Yeah. 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 And they did have some drops, or I think that you might have seen, obviously, a much different offense. Because, they didn't do Alex Smith any favors. But I think with Kansas City, I'm not dropping any knowledge or hot takes here, but they really miss Jamaal Charles. If they can get a running game back, that's going to help them tremendously. Because right now, nobody's really concerned about West or Spencer Ware. Or, you know.
I was going to say, but the thing that was entertaining to me was when Spencer Ware fumbled, ex-running back and running backs coach for the Chief, Eric Bieniemy, made no secret of how many times he was going back to that well to make sure he got in the face and really let
him
know.
He lost his mind over that. Which
Spencer Ware was, and Spencer Ware didn't see the field the rest of the game. West was the guy the rest of the game, and I think that did the Texans a favor. So that's something to keep an eye on going forward from Kansas City's perspective. But we'll talk much more about the Texans. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. We are here until 3 o'clock. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
See if I can do my best Bill Belichick for you, because you know that he was full of chatty information talking about the Texans on Thursday night, but I'm sure it went something like, "We're on to the Texans. I'm not talking about our quarterback situation. We'll worry about our quarterback situation when we talk about our quarterback situation." Because you know he's not saying anything. And right now, I think it's humorous. We talked about the Adrian Peterson situation as I bring back in my partner, Barry Laminack. And we were talking Texans here and getting you ready for Thursday night in the short week. And the ironic thing is we talked about Adrian Peterson and the fact that they thought that there was a chance that he could play this week for the Vikings. And we all saw him on crutches. If you saw the hit that Garoppolo took, and you know every medical report that you've heard subsequently after that, and for him to think that he's going to be pulling a fast one on the Texans and go, you know, well, there is a chance he could play this week. Come on, man. I mean, look, the biggest advantage that they have, and we know what Belichick does, but he is going to dummy down and simplify the offense. There's no doubt about that, to make sure that, you know, he puts his players in the best position to win. But the one thing that they have going for them, because Jacoby Brissett is a rookie, but he showed that he knows exactly what he's supposed to do, what he's not supposed to do, and what their offense expects of him. But that the fact that the Texans have really legitimately not less than one half of tape on this guy gives them an advantage, because they can do things that the Texans may not be prepared for completely. But that's the biggest advantage Belichick has on offense with this guy. But he's got enough weapons that no matter who you put at the quarterback position, as long as they know the system, you can move the football.
He's a damn wizard. He's a Sith Lord. I don't know what the hell he is, but he somehow is able to make lemonade out of lemons. I mean, the dude it's unbelievable the coaching job that he does year in and year out, and he deserves all of the praise that he gets for being one of the best in the business. But I think you're going to see a difference with Jacoby Brissett. If you just go back and look at that game, Garoppolo was pretty clean for the most part, even though he doesn't have much experience as a quarterback. But Jacoby Brissett was sacked 2 times, and he only had nine pass attempts. So that's going to be the biggest difference to me, is him being able to get rid of the ball or recognize the defenses and being able to get rid of the ball. And so I think that bodes well for the Texans pass rush.
It will be in capital letters: he is not a quarterback. He is a game manager. He will turn and hand the ball off. He will make sure he finds Amendola and he finds Julian Edelman, and he throws slants and short passes, and he manages the game. I don't think he's going to be, you know, expected to, or even that they're going to encourage him to do what Garoppolo was doing, which was move around in the pocket, extend plays, you know, try and do some things with your legs. They, one, can't afford to lose him, because the backup right now is Julian Edelman, I believe.
Yeah.
And they haven't gone out and signed anybody to this point to try and back him up. So it wouldn't surprise me if he goes into that game with just two quarterbacks and one happens to be a receiver. But also the fact that, you know, when you bring up Bill Belichick, Travis and I had the conversation yesterday, and it was some healthy dialogue. It was a good discussion. But Travis was all about Bill Belichick, and he didn't care if he bent the rules or cheated or did whatever, because it was, how far you would go to make sure that you win at all costs, and Travis was okay with that. Mm. And I was bringing up some of the shortcomings of Bill Belichick that have led us to believe that he cheats,
yeah,
and that some of the ways that he's kind of bent the rules or done things his way in order to make sure that he guarantees success and increases his chance for victory has rubbed people the wrong way, including, you know, the injured reserves and who's actually hurt. But we all know that he's not chatty anyway, but he has his own way. I said, and even some of the people on Twitter said, so you're saying that is, you know, PEDs are okay unless you get caught. And then Travis kind of didn't exactly know how to respond to that one, but it's kind of saying the same thing. I want to know where you're at with that, because we all know that it, to some degree you can prove there's been at least fairly solid evidence that he's cheated and bent the rules. But he does find a way to win, and he finds a way to win frequently. And you can't argue the track results of the team, because literally they're as close to a dynasty as we're going to see in football since the early days of some of the big football programs that will remain nameless for now. But one of them resides up in a tundra. But overall, what are your feelings on Belichick, and where do you put him? And are you okay with the fact that he's the guy that's basically pushed the envelope to different levels?
I think when it comes to cheating, you're okay with it if it's your coach. I mean, everyone's like, ah, you know, it's not a big deal. Everyone does it. Everyone takes a little air out of the football. It's just that Brady got caught, which I still don't know that pinning that on Bill Belichick is fair to Belichick. He's got enough pinned on him already from that perspective. But, I mean, I don't think that it lessens the job that he's done, because the things that he's doing, it still doesn't change, you know, the complete outcome of the game. It may give them an advantage, but I have a feeling that if you got down to it, most NFL teams are cheating in some form or fashion. It's just like in baseball. Pretty much every baseball team is cheating in some way. It's just a matter of, are you getting caught? And do you have guys that are going to go out and snitch on you when they change teams?
I think your first point's a great one. And I think that a lot of people, it kind of gets away from them. But if Bill Belichick was your coach,
absolutely,
in your town, and you had his track record, there's no doubt that everyone in New England, everyone in Boston, everyone around that area, they believe in Belichick, they love Belichick, and they don't care what means he uses and whatever necessary, as long as he gets the job done. And I think it's a great point. That's why so many people in New England don't want to hear it. You know, on the flip side, SI.com just did a huge article again about how they can prove a lot of these things on the cheating and the allegations. And it included things with the commissioner involved in it and his staff and destroying videotapes and going all the way back to all that. So there's a lot of different things in which, if you're not in New England, you question. And then you say, and I, you know what? The other thing I agree with you on, Barry, is the fact that I don't know how much he knew about deflating the footballs. Of all the other things he was involved in, that could have been just Brady and his guys. And look, everybody says, well, and I agree, they would have beat the Colts anyway. But when you go, the deeper stat that defines what it can do to a game of football is, especially when you know how quickly the weather turns and how difficult it is when a cold, hard football is being in play, the fact that they were the best team at taking care of the football for the final 6 weeks of the regular season when it got cold starts making you wonder, how long were they doing this? And don't tell me that a little extra squeeze in the football helps you keep a good tight grip on it when it's cold outside. That has, you know, you have to at least factor in that it wasn't just one game. And if it was happening then, it was probably because, you know, exactly what you said is exactly what most people believe, which is if you're not trying to cheat and find a way to win, then you're not really wanting to win. So you can talk about that as well. But I think that if he's your coach, you love everything that he's trying to do because he's using every means necessary to try and win football games for your franchise. And the track record, as I said, speaks for itself. It's going to be a big game for the Texans. I've said all along it's a catch-22 game. It's a no-win situation. If you win, you're supposed to win. Brady's not playing. Garoppolo may not play. If you lose, then people start criticizing you, saying you thought you were there. You thought you were on your way to the upper echelon of the AFC. Instead, you lose a game in which their first two quarterbacks aren't playing. Gronkowski may not play, and yet you can't find a way to win. So it's a tough game for the Texans either way. But as you have said before, and it's big, and it needs to be in the forefront, just get the W. It doesn't matter because at the end of the year, it still shows up in the left column instead of the right column. And that's what's most important.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to care that, you were supposed to win. Well, yeah, I mean, I could almost guarantee you to a man that the Texans aren't going to care that they're down to their third string quarterback without Gronk. Or every team has had to play under those circumstances before, and if they lost, they lost. And you know, these guys are still professionals; they still get paid. They're still the best players on the planet, regardless of if they're third string, second string, or first string. So you go out there and you play who they put up in front of you, and if you win, yeah, you win. And if you don't, then yeah, it's like, oh well, you lost to a third string quarterback, but yeah, you know what? There's the rest of the team is still the starters. LeGarrette Blount is still a legit running back, and I think you're gonna see a healthy dose of him on Thursday as well.
I don't think people give him credit either, because everybody hates Patriot running backs.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Dude, what did he rush for, like 120 something yards?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's legit. You know, that matters, and that, especially with a rookie quarterback like Brissett, you've got somebody in LeGarrette Blount that you can hand the ball to. Go out there and get us 4 yards every time we give it to you, and we're going to give it to you 30, 35 times. And you know, and control the game better. So it's going to be up to the Texans front seven to stop them. Yeah, but I don't think it's necessarily a trap game. I just think it's not a good look.
A trap game. I'm saying it's a no-win situation for the Texans in terms of the critics, because if you win, you were supposed to, because they had so many injuries. And if you don't win, it's like, what the hell's up with your team? You can't beat the Patriots without two quarterbacks and their best player at tight end.
But honestly, I don't think, I mean, if you ask Texans fans, I think they had this as a loss anyways.
Really? You think so? Regardless?
Yeah, looking at the schedule.
I think there's a lot of Kool-Aid drinking fans out there that believe that this was the game that they make the statement that they were going to go into Foxborough and win this game.
I think if you were a Texans fan and you looked at the schedule at the beginning of the year before they ever played a game and had this marked as a win, you were foolhardy. I mean, it is the Patriots. It is.
We got sound effects for those people, Nick.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing, man. So I think if you lose, yeah, you hate that, but I think what will end up happening is the narrative won't necessarily be that the Texans suck. It'll be that, look at Belichick, he does it again.
Yeah, and I keep thinking about the Herm Edwards quote the more we keep talking about this. You play to win the game. It doesn't matter how you win the game and what you do. You play to win the game, and that's what Texans fans and the team and everybody associated with the team has to keep in mind. Just play to win the game. Don't worry about the critics and the naysayers. Just play to win the game. If you win this game, you're 3-0. The NFC only has two of those. The AFC is wide open, although the Steelers look pretty good. We can talk about that, too. But the Texans in a really good position, regardless, in the division and with their record. And it's a big game on Thursday night on a short week. We'll continue to talk about it right here on ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. A t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese. Some things in life are an obvious match, like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors. The difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Learn why at Schwabvious.com.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.